Hey guys, Brock here. Welcome to the podcast today. It's always an honor when you get to actually sit down with the mentor that has altered the course of your life greater than anyone else. And today I am privileged to sit down with Mr. Lance Schiffman. Lance bought his first property at age 18, which is a hell of a story in and of itself that we get into, and ended up buying a gas station and then selling that and then having the funds to become a very successful angel investor in several multi-billion dollar companies. But all that young success aside, Lance had a point in his life, and I don't know if any of you have ever felt this way, where he just kind of felt empty inside. He was going through a divorce, there were some changes, and about 8 years ago, he had what he calls his great awakening. Lance has been a spiritual mentor to me and a mentor in many other areas. In fact, whenever the shitstorms of life seem to be hitting, Lance is the person that I call and always gives me advice and perspective to bring me back to ground zero to start over again. You guys are going to love this episode. We talk a lot about entrepreneurship, how to kind of have your own great awakening, if you will, how to manifest your life into abundance and just be filled with gratitude. Lance has a nonprofit, I guess we would call it, called Genshai. And Genshai is a sacred word from ancient Sanskrit. And we get into the meaning of that. But it's a very powerful word, and it's something that really changed the course of Lance's life, and now he's dedicated every waking hour to getting the message out about this incredible movement called Genshai. You guys are in for a treat here. We get into so much. There are gems of wisdom embodied within this episode, so if you don't catch it the first time, make sure that you listen to it again and again. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. Lance Schiffman. All right, everyone, welcome to the Brock Cannon Podcast. Today, I am beyond honored and humbled to have my mentor, my good friend, and founder of Genshai, Lance Schiffman. Lance, welcome to the podcast, my man.
Brock, it is an honor always. We've known each other for quite a few years, and when you invited me on here, it was a humble acceptance for sure. Thanks, brother.
My pleasure. So for everyone that does not know your story, which undoubtedly there's always some, give us just a little bit of your background. Where did you grow up? You know, what was the upbringing like, and maybe kind of transition into where you are now and kind of what you're doing? You can give as much detail or as little as you want.
Yeah, no. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, we always need to share our story because I think that's key, Brock, and I love what you're doing with this podcast and just creating authentic stories and, you know, just showing how individual we are and how unique we are. And that's truly what Genshai represents to me, and we'll go into that, I'm sure. But, you know, Brock, it's interesting because I was able to reflect my story with a gentleman after I did a long swim training this week. And this gentleman was like, he needed to connect. You know, he says, I'm on the other side of the tracks. I have never had opportunities in my life. And I looked at him and I said, I was too. You know, you got to relate to somebody and really dive in deep to where their heart is. And I felt the pain from this gentleman. And I was thinking about my story at that time. And he said, where did you come from? And I says, listen, I worked from the time I was 7 years old at my dad's business. He owned for 30 years, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day and all day Saturday. Up until I was 17, and I moved out when I was finishing my junior year of high school. So I, for most of my senior year, I lived by myself working three jobs. And I literally walked down the street about a half a mile, rented an apartment from one of my mentors, and had $1,200 in my pocket. That's all I had saved since I was 7 years old, you know? And yeah. And he was like, wow. He goes, well, how did you do it? How did you pull out of things? How did you see the opportunity in your life? And I said, I was scared, first of all, because my dad closed his company. And my dad taught me so much. He taught me
What was his company, Lance? What did he do?
So he owned a company that produced playground equipment. trampolines, basketball standards, the swing sets, everything. So from the time I'm seven, I'm carrying like 50 plus pound, 70 pound boxes, just dragging them on the ground of the warehouse. And my dad's like, you can carry that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was a super strong kid with this huge heart. And I was just like, oh, why do I have to do this? You know, I'd disappear at my friend's house and go, I hope my dad can't find me. So, but he closed his company when I was 17. I thought I was going to take it over. And what I didn't realize is what an amazing opportunity my dad gifted me, because I was working three jobs now, finishing high school, living on my own. And I moved out because, I mean, to be honest, Brock, I was pissed. I was angry at the world. I was angry, you know, this was going to be kind of my cash cow carrying forward. I get to take over his company and show him what I can do, right? I can, you know, you always want to make our dad proud. So as soon as I started, I was like, oh my goodness, now what? Now what? And then the craziest thing happened. Me and my girlfriend, at the time, my whole senior year, we had been dating and we got really, really close. And we're like, you know, we decided to get married the day after we graduated high school. Wow. So talk about shocker. So everybody's like, well, Lance, you're an old soul and you just go after things and that. And I said, no, I was like scared to death. And yeah, I might be quiet at times, but, so I got married at 18. Like I literally graduated, with Janine at about 9 o'clock at night. We finished. We were married at 10 o'clock the next morning. Crazy. Oh yeah. Nuts.
And those that didn't hear or don't know, you grew up in Utah, which even by Utah and Mormon cultural standards, 18 is pretty damn young.
18. That's younger than the norm. We dove into it. And, you know, I saw one of my mentors, Norm Bangeter, who was the governor at the time. I mean, talk about intimidating, having a mentor like that. You know, one of the ultimate servants of our community and state, as your like second dad, if you will, and be careful what you wish for. He actually ended up as my stepdad. So that's a whole other story, Brock. But it's crazy. But so my, you know, 4 months after I graduated, I made an offer on the apartments I was living in, because my dad and Norm showed me entrepreneurship and you got to own your own life. And they taught me this early on. They're like, own your own life or somebody else will own it, you know, and that's obviously figurative and stuff. So it was a lesson for me. And I'm like, well, how do I do that? You know, they own properties and apartments and businesses and successful. And I'm like, at that point I had only saved like $3,200. So how do I get this thing? I literally went to the library. How do I set up a corporation? And how do I write a REPC, which is a commercial contract? And I had it presented to the governor through my mom. Norm was like, do you know what your son's doing? And she's like, what are you talking about? He just made me an offer on these apartments. Didn't he just graduate? Didn't he just get married? You know, he's like, yeah. He goes, what is he thinking? And my mom says, you know, he wants to be an entrepreneur like you and his dad. And long story short, we went back and forth and Norm calls me one morning and he goes, get up to the state capitol 8:30 tomorrow morning. I'm like, oh my gosh. So now I'm putting on my best suit. I'm pitting out. I'm sweating.
Yeah.
And I'm up there sitting in the chair, you know, outside of the governor's office. It's a crazy story. I mean, you can't write reality, right? So he comes out and he goes, Lance, come in my office. Now I'm really like, oh my gosh, what did I do? I sat in front of him and he asked me, why do you want these apartments, Lance? You're young. You probably should get some experience under your belt and stuff. I says, and I just poured my heart out. I probably teared up while I was saying this because I'm staring at this mentor across from me. And I says, Norm, I said, I've watched you and my dad and I really want to get started. I want to buy these apartments. I know what I can do with them. I see the vision. And I said, this will be a huge start for me. I said, my dream is to become like you guys. And he looked at me and he said, Lance, I cannot wait to see what you do with the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sell you those apartments at your original offer. And I'm excited for you. And I believe in you.
Wow.
And I walked out with chills and tears, Brock. I was like, somebody believes in me again. At 18. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is magical. I had to go get a loan, right? With $3,200. That's a whole other story, Brock. Oh my gosh.
How much were these apartments going for at the time?
About 40 grand. So it wasn't a ton. It was three. Okay. It was a triplex, you know, but 18 years old, I'm buying a triplex, right? Three apartment buildings, mm-hmm. two bedroom, one bath, you know, right on the busy street, right in West Valley where I grew up. And, you know, other side of the tracks too, right? So So 20 institutions turned me down. And I'm like, I've got to make this happen. And I did. We can share that another time, but what perseverance, right? You just got to make it happen. And I was scared and I didn't want to let my mentor down, which was one of the keys. So
at 18, you buy your first apartments, which is incredible. You've had this incredible opportunity, I guess, of not just someone believing you, but someone, you know, like through their actions, showing that they believe in you by giving you the opportunity that you worked your ass off for. And then where did things kind of go from there?
Oh, and then I had a gentleman. So I started out at Delta Airlines, you know, I was throwing bags, winging bags. And I started when I was 18 as well, because I needed insurance for my family and I wanted to travel. So I worked like one or two days a week out at Delta while I was being an entrepreneur. Right. So as I'm doing these other jobs and side gigs, and now I have apartments. So one of the guys out there owned a Taco Time, and he saw me reading all of the business books, and he says, you own apartments? He goes, and I said, yeah. And he goes, I have his Taco Time. Do you want to buy it from me? And I was like, yeah, you know, Mexican fast food. I'm like, I can do that, right? I own apartments. Yeah, right. So I jumped into it. We went 50-50 on it. They were silent partners and amazing individuals. And I took it over. And in 8 months, with the help of my sister, and this is hilarious, so hopefully I don't get in trouble for this, but we had to let everybody go because, you know, a lot of the people were like feeding their families and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, we got to figure out how we can be profitable and not just feed everyone. Right. So I brought in my sister at 14 years old to manage it with me.
Oh my gosh.
Because I trusted her and she is unbelievable. My sister Tara is an unbelievable soul. And in 8 months we tripled sales at that store together. We worked our butts off in 8 months. And long story short, you know, this is one of my lessons, but the couple that we were working with saw that, hey, this is really profitable. And I had like remodeling plans already done and everything. And they ended up buying me back out of the store. And I was like, wait a second. Wait. You know, I'm like, now what? Well, there's another gift, right? You have to look at these as gifts, not setbacks. Because that was one of my lessons in business is, you know, what direction are you headed and be focused and be very clear in your communication. So the next thing I bought, I was like, man, I need another business because now I've got the bug. And, you know, if we did that, what can we do with the next thing?
Yeah.
I end up buying a gas station, Brock, next. I bought a gas station and I don't recommend a restaurant or a gas station to anyone. I'm just saying, but I did it. It was insane. I'm just saying, I owned it for almost 11 years. And I didn't make any money for the next 7 years, Brock. It was scary. I thought I was going to go bankrupt every other month when gas prices were getting really thin. I had to put my employees' salaries on my credit card some months.
Wow.
And I had to change my tanks and pumps. The EPA, 3.5 years into it, said, you got to change everything out. Oh. And I literally took my keys down to the EPA and gave my keys to the head of EPA and said, you now own a gas station. I can't afford it.
Wow.
And whatever happens after this, I don't know.
Wow.
And another lesson. The guy says, wait, Lance. Let's see how we can help you. And they did. They got the agricultural guys, those guys, and I got contractors and everything to work with me with literally no money.
Wow.
And we got about $400,000 or $500,000 worth of work done up at my gas station, brand new gas station.
Wow.
Over the next 9 months. Insane. If you ask for help and you're sincere and they know your intent in your heart, people will come out of the woodwork to help. You know, I mean, with what you're doing, Brock, I mean, it's magical when you put your heart into it and you're just everything you have. So, yeah, that was,
lesson.
I think that was my doctorate in being an entrepreneur was the gas, was the gas station.
So Lance, did you ever even go to college? Like, did you ever even go to a community college or anything and open a textbook, or were you just so full into entrepreneurship at this point and that's where you stayed?
Interesting question, Brock, because I went for a year and a half. I went to our local community college here, and it's an amazing college, and it just continues to grow. And, you know, it's probably the most diverse college in the whole state. And it was close to me, so I could just drive my little car down there and go back and forth to the airport and go to my gas station. So, yeah, I went for a year and a half, and I loved it. I loved it, but my favorite classes were sociology and psychology. And I had amazing teachers, but then I got too busy with my gas station, with work, life. I got way too busy, and I'm like, well, maybe I could just take stuff. You know, things weren't online yet, but I was just going to take side classes. And, you know, I always wanted to learn. I always wanted to see what was next, what was best. So, so I went for a year and a half. And ironically, the school reached out to help with some of their stuff. And they were like, hey, we want to vote you on the board, you know? And I was like, oh, yeah. And they said, hey, well, we'll give you like an honorary degree or something like that, you know, because the college is love. You know, if you're going to help us, we'll help you. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I only want an honorary associate degree. and the gal that was over the board, they just laughed. And I says, no, that's all I earned. And I said, and I don't mind making up the classes, you know, the last quarter that I didn't do to get it.
Yeah.
I said, an honorary associate would be great. And so long story short, I said, I'd still help. I don't think they voted me in because I only wanted an honorary associate. Like, so that's crazy. But I'm like, yeah, if I didn't earn it, then it's fine. I'm good. So,
well, what fascinates me about you, Lance, and what I've always admired is your voracious desire to learn. I mean, you've look, everyone listening, I've literally probably read more books that Lance has recommended to me than any other person on this planet. And I always ask him, like, what are you reading? And you're always into something. And how did you cultivate that? Like, how did you realize that books could be just a great source of knowledge versus just books out of school?
You know, interesting. It was really Brock, my awakening, if you will, about 8 or 9 years ago. And that's when I became just an avid reader. You know, I just wanted to read like a book a week, a book a month, whatever. And I'm reading like 4 or 5 books at a time. You know, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be like, oh, I got to read this chapter in this book. Now I need to read this chapter in this book, because it's based on my emotional state and what I'm feeling for the day and what resonates. You know, I'm really in tune with my emotions and my energy on what resonates for the day. I just don't dive into it and let things direct me. I'm always directing it. So, yeah, that's why I've read. That's why, like, when you're texting me, I'm like, oh, Brock would love this. You know, I'm feeling this today. And So I always have like four or five books in queue, and you know, I love where it takes me and the education that it has. You have these amazing authors that have poured their hearts into a book for years. Yes. And you can literally sit down for a few hours and absorb years of heartfelt information and education and experiences. I mean, that's better than college for me. You know, if yeah. you read a biography of somebody's entire life, you know, of 70, 80 years in 3 or 4 hours and absorb all the lessons and then start practicing the ones that worked, you know, you are bypassing a ton of school of hard knocks. You're bypassing so many things in your life of what you need to go through and just absorbing. And just how does that relate to your life? What can I make better in my life from what I'm reading? So that's why I jumped into it. And, you know, I really started reading because I wanted to get out of the situation I was in. I was in like, you know, people call it your dark night or your huge transition from wherever you're at. And I needed to see things a different way. And they really enlightened me when I opened up the books.
Yeah, that's, I hope everyone takes that away. Like truly, like just pause and ponder that for a minute. That's such a great point. I mean, literally someone's life, their passion, hours and hours that they've taken to write a book, and you can just, and people make the excuse like, oh, I just hate books. I don't read. Like, what a shame. I mean, really, what a shame. Like, whether, do you like audiobooks, Lance, or are you a Kindle guy or just a good old hard book kind
of
guy?
No. So I have a stack of paperbacks right next to my pillows, right mm-hmm. on my bed. I'm looking at them right now in my house. I'm staring at my whole stack, and I'm like, and then audiobook. When I trail run, you know, you're an avid trail runner. So, you know, you and I can probably burn through a whole book in a trail run. Audio. And then in my truck, when I'm driving, always audio book because I want to learn. I want to learn. And I love music. It's my passion. But every second I get, I want to learn something from somebody. Because it makes me a better person. It makes me a whole person when I listen to this stuff. It really makes me resonate with a better me.
Talk to us, Lance, about, and I don't know who originally coined it, but there's this really kind of interesting philosophy around redirecting your time with education versus entertainment. And give us kind of your take on that, you know, the value of focusing not only on entertainment, but on education and kind of some ways that you've done that in your life, you know, maybe audiobooks aside and stuff like that.
Yeah, no. And you bring up a phenomenal point because I'm seeing a lot of like my age group and everybody kind of checking out, you know, with TV and news and buying into things. And I need to go to the next best movie. You know, everybody floods to the theaters and I love a good movie, but yeah. You know, if that's where your focus is and that's what you're waiting for, you know, they're directing your life, right? Like I said earlier. And the beauty of educating yourself through seminars, through mentors, you know, like Brock, listening to this podcast. I mean, what a gift everyone has to listen to what you've created on this, Brock, of education and life stories and how people are motivated and inspired and transformed. Just get in the podcasts, get in the audiobooks, go to seminars, get in your community, see how you can help. You know, my mom taught me to give back. My mom said she taught me tons of charity. She's my greatest mentor and taught me charity, love, just constantly give back. And that's where I've learned probably the most, Brock, is how do I give back? How do I give all of me? How do I give my heart? And that education there is priceless for me because if you're heart-centric and you're in your heart and you have that control of where you're going through your education, right? Because we're all, I mean, whether we're being entertained or educated, it's all the same. It's an experience, right? So whatever we're experiencing is altering our life. So how do we maintain that love and charity and that what with everything that we're doing to direct it?
I love that. So I want to pause on that topic for just a second, and I really want to get into your awakening. But before we do that, kind of just go on to what kind of happened next. So you go in the gas station, and then you had a lot of success as an earlier investor in some companies, and you know, kind of catch us up from there, and then let's jump into your awakening 8-9 years ago.
Oh man, from there, Brock, I sold the gas station and did fairly well. And after that, I started investing in more properties. I invested in some startup companies. I really honed in on my nutrition. Some of those were nutritional companies. Had a phenomenal run there, which I was extremely blessed with amazing mentors and amazing people in my life who are dear friends and I consider brothers and sisters to this day. That's where I met you, in one of those, Brock. So
yeah.
What a gift. And just blessed with those experiences. But then as the monetary success came from my drive and my passion, you know, about 10 years into it, and then it really exploded because, you know, you do the work, you will get paid. Trust me. I mean, whatever your intent is, you do the work, you will get paid. And I know that. That's one of the greatest lessons I've learned too. And as this blew up, you know, we're building a dream house. I've got three amazing, beautiful daughters, which is the most cherished thing I have in my life. And, you know, we were living the dream. And, you know, the dream cars, the dream house. I'm pounding 13-14 hour days, you know, in the community, in the church. Everything's just amazing. From the outside, it was amazing, Brock. From the outside. And I always emphasize that because I thought that was the path. I thought that was the journey. I thought that was, you know, I did this. And granted, I was like thankful for all the amazing creations around me and what was created for me and the abundance shared from Creator everything, you know. It was unbelievable, but I was super hollow inside. I was like, I didn't know it until the actual fall and the pit in your gut, the things aren't right, and everything just starts crumbling underneath you. You don't have the relationship you thought. You're traveling all over the world now. You're doing amazing things, but are you? And that's the question that was thrusted upon me was, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? Is this worth it? How's your family? How's your relationship? And I honestly couldn't answer those questions with love and my whole heart because I didn't know. Because I was so busy succeeding. I was so busy with the drive, so busy with the passions that I thought were what I needed to do, what I was acceptable with, right? What perception society needed for me to be perceived as successful. So, and then that's when I awoke. That's when I pulled back and spent some time with myself that I hadn't for many, many, many years. And that was about 8 or 9 years ago. So, yeah, that's comes to your next point, Brock.
Our listeners always tell us that the pieces that they always appreciate and really resonate with the most is kind of the struggle. And I know there was some immense struggle around that time. Cause I mean, we were friends, we were talking. Yeah. I had just gone through a divorce. You went through a divorce, I think shortly before or after me. I honestly can't remember now, but there was some pain. There was some changes with kind of the spiritual and religious beliefs. And talk to us just a little bit about kind of what happened at that time. Did you say the fall? You had kind of a fall before the awakening?
You know, it just went, everything went dark on me. Everything went hollow. Everything was just empty. I had this pit in my gut. Things weren't right. And then it just facilitated and opened itself up. And I was like, wow, what have I created? You know, it's beautiful from the outside. I'm successful from the outside. And then I just had to go deep. And I went through a life transition with my partner at the time, and she, you know, we both decided we're done, and we struggled for about 7 or 8 years trying to patch things and keep things together, and just realized it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right before Thanksgiving. It's a beautiful time, right? So yeah. Holidays are awesome when you're going through this stuff. but, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, what it did for me is I really had to check out to check in. And I checked out for the next, Brock, how many? I mean, it was like a couple of years, literally. Because all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go climb Kilimanjaro. What do I need to do? Well, I need to train. I need to bike. I need to hop on a bike with Brock and hopefully I can keep up, which didn't happen very often. So I just started training. I'm like, physically, I need to figure this out. And there were so many times I was on that bike by myself, Brock, that I was in tears asking myself, what am I doing? How did I end up in this situation? And honestly, when I was driving my car, sometimes I would hope my tire would blow. This is how dark it got for me, just so the pain would end. And I was like, I was never suicidal. I was never in that state of mind, but I wanted the pain to end. And as soon as what caused the pain to end was I started tapping into myself. I'm like, Lance, you are a value. Never treat yourself small, right, Brock? I mean, we know that concept. And that's what pulled me out. I was treating myself small. I was belittling myself. I wasn't in my innate abilities, and I was not in what I was created to be from the inside out. Outside in, I mean, from the outside, it was awesome. Inside, it was empty. What do I need to build now? Right. So,
well, I remember very specifically, and I want to say, looking back, it was probably in 2013, and we met at a little coffee shop inside of a grocery store in Park City, Utah, and sat down, and it'd been a long time since I'd seen you, and something was different. Like, you had this, I don't want to call it an aura, but, like, you know, there was just something different about you. There kind of was this different glow, and you just were so amped up on life, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have so much to catch you up on. And I think we probably talked for like 2 hours, and I just was like listening to your every word, and you really had such a remarkable awakening. And I think we both had kind of experienced a migration out of the religion that we were both practicing for many years. And I felt like, oh, this is so crazy. Like, you're just ahead of me in a way with what I'm trying to experience. And that was an amazing meeting for me. And I think we've really connected and evolved even more since that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a beautiful thing for us to be raised in, and what a scaffolding of, eternal truths or whatever that is that we've had to propel us where we are now. And I honor every minute of my life and every association that I've had, religiously and non-religiously. I mean, there's so many beautiful people around the world, and that's really the state that I was in when I came in, Brock. I was like, man, there's beautiful things everywhere. And me traveling the world, I realized that every culture, every person is unique. Every person wants the same thing for their family. And yeah, when we talked for those 2 hours, it was magic for me as well, because I was just pouring my heart to you saying, man, I found this out. And then I learned this, Brock, and I read this, and just positivity and love and joy and peace and stuff just pouring out of me. And it has ever since. And I just opened myself up to all possibilities. You know, what is this person saying? What is this person doing? How does this resonate? You know, I want to learn about this culture. I want to learn about this religion. I want to learn about this. And everything's opened up. And that's the beauty. And that's the beautiful life I live now. I want to learn about everything, every culture, every person. And I can't get enough of it. And when you open it up, as you know, Brock, it's a fire hose. Mm-hmm. It is a fire hose of amazing information, a fire hose of amazing, amazing experiences. And I just don't live by fear and guilt and shame. I live by love and a peaceful nature and harmony. And it's not this kumbaya thing. You know me, Brock. I'm very practical. I'm a numbers guy. I'm a business person. But first and foremost, I'm a loving father of three amazing daughters. And I have amazing people in my life now, amazing loved ones. And that's where I live. That's why I choose to dwell. You know, I'm the one editing my life. I'm the one directing it. And I think that's where people need to stay and just elevate your energy and vibration and energy. And I'm just not this frou-frou guy. I'm very practical. And when you stay in that level of excitement and love and acceptance, and when I said at the beginning of this call, humble acceptance, that's where our you and me being a brother together, that's what it means to me. You know, I cherish my relationships more than ever.
I want to ask you something that I know a lot of people struggle with. I know you've helped me with this a lot, but you mentioned letting go of guilt and shame, and whether that has been fostered deep inside of us through parents who maybe were very hard on us, or a religion that fostered guilt and shame and told us that we're sinners or whatever the ideology. A lot of us, once we get to adults, absolutely, I find that to move on, to really hit that next level of awakening, we need to let that go. So for you, can you think of any practices or experiences or things that really helped you to let go of that? And what would you recommend for others?
You know, I think one of the keys is, for me especially, Brock, is just that same principle that I said earlier, is not to treat myself small. And I think when we live in a state of what you just mentioned, I think we're demeaning ourselves. I think we're lessening our abilities and taking away the gifts that we're given. So for me, it's like, no, everybody around me is equal. Everybody around me is as powerful, and everybody needs to tap into the greatness that was instilled in them. So that's where I want to be. And if people want to dwell in that and feel ashamed of what they've done, and my past did this to me, and like the gentleman I mentioned at the beginning, I didn't have any opportunities in my life. And I said, yeah, it's because you weren't in alignment with observation of the opportunities that were presented. Mm. And he just looked at me like, oh, I've never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I think I failed as a father. I failed. I said, no, you didn't. I said, everybody's on their own path. You're just responsible for you. And what I mean by that is you're responsible for what you learn, what you emulate, what you teach, right? What you're telling people, and just the energy that's around you. That's what you're responsible for. And if we're full, everything's filling everyone else around you. They feel it. They see it. Like when we met at that coffee shop, I was full, and I've been full ever since. Like I just keep feeling, I just keep filling my bucket, Brock, as much as I can, because I want to give of me and my heart and everything around everyone. And I have those days where I'm just like, yeah, you know, I don't want to be a part of this day. You know, I have those days where I'm just like, I'm going to stay in bed. I'm not even going to meditate today. You know, screw this. So I have those days. I'm human, but for the most part, it just doesn't pay to stay and dwell in a state of negativity in any form.
Yes.
I think we create that. We create that. And because you know why, Brock? Because we want to feel something. We want to feel something. And I think that's what's going on right now, is people are living in a pain state. They're watching the news. They're buying into the politics. They're letting everybody around them dictate their feelings and their emotions. Mm. And they feed on it. They get that dopamine hit of Oh man, but if it's in a negative state, it just builds and compounds, festers. But if you're on the other side and you're in a state of love and charity and just being positive, and there's hope around us, and there's just this amazing opportunity that presents itself as much on the other side. I've seen it. I'm seeing it now.
For you, this is something I've pondered a lot, and I know a lot of people ask questions about this, to really fill yourself up to the point where you are overflowing, so to speak. What are some of the daily or weekly practices that you just like clockwork do? And like you said, you have your bad days like anyone else, but to really get full and fill yourself up, what are some of those practices?
So early in the morning when I wake up, I actually stay in bed and I put on a meditation that has, you know, the miracle tones, the binaural beats, something that, and I don't necessarily do the guided meditations. I just love beautiful music and the tones that resonate with me. And I'll
describe the binaural beats for people that don't know, because they're very powerful.
You know, it's the beautiful thing about, you know, like the beat of your heart and these binaural beats, they resonate and bring you up to a higher vibrational state. And people don't realize that. But yeah, you're right, Brock. They're extremely powerful. So are the tones. You know, these tones, you know, the universe is built on vibration, tones, beats, if you will, your heartbeat. I mean, it's innate. It's built in us. And if we can resonate with that and start with that, that's what I meditate with in the morning. That's what I start with, is basically what everything's built upon, right? And then I pray, and I pray with gratitude and love, and what I'm grateful for around me, this amazing gratitude prayer to start the day. And then I think of my relationships. I think of who around me, who's three or four people around me that I can send amazing love to and energy without even like texting or calling them. I'll think about them and I'll just send it out. I'll just think about them and I'll have them in my heart and my prayer. And then I wake up and I get, you know, I have to work out. I have to work out every morning. I got to get my body going, you know, get the juices flowing, the right things I put in my body. You have to, if you're in a beautiful spiritual state, you need to be in a beautiful physical state as well, as you know, with what you've created. And you just have to, resonate at every level and every form. So, you know, whether it's your physical or spiritual, they have to resonate with each other. They've got to coordinate. They got to sync up. So you can tell a lot about somebody in the physical nature they're at, in their eyes, things like that. So I study all that stuff as well, just the human nature. And as you know, we're in nature all the time. And that's why I go to nature constantly, in the trees and the mountains. You know, you're trail running all the time. So am I. I just trail ran the other day and the snow up to my knees, soaking wet, freezing. and I think it just makes you feel alive, makes you feel like you're a part of something amazing. And you just get to see the beauty that's created around you. So I encourage everybody listening to this to get in nature today and get uncomfortable. Really comfortable.
You have a saying about mountains and oceans. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, no, that was part of my awakening too, Brock, was, you know, the ocean I love so much because the ocean's so healing and the flow of the waves and the continuation of things, you know, so the oceans heal and then the mountains inspire. So, So when I'm on the mountains, you know, I can see everything when I summit the top and I'm in the trees and the wind's blowing, and I can see the animals and hear them. And so the mountains inspire me and the ocean heals me. So I'm in both as much as I possibly can.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's never left me when you tell me that. That's always stayed with me. And I think it's very, very true. I want to get into Genshai, Lance. I want to round this puppy up with Genshai and like we'll probably even do round two because this is just such amazing stuff. So talk to us about Genshai, spell it out, fill us in.
Oh man.
This is life-changing stuff right here for everybody about to hear.
So this. Brock, you know, this is my passion. This is what really woke me up. I have chills. You just said Genshai, share with Genshai. I have chills right now through my whole body. They call them truth bumps, whatever you call them. When I hear that word and the definition, Genshai, G-E-N-S-H-A-I, what it means is, and it said Genshai, it's an ancient Sanskrit word, and it's been a sacred word, not promoted. And when I heard that word about 8 years ago, Brock, and the definition of never treat another person in a manner that would make them feel small, including yourself, I was like, right to the core, I'm treating myself small. You know what? I love all the golden rules, you know, love your neighbor as yourself and all this stuff. I mean, I think that was the purest of the teachings, right? And this is that word. This is that definition. I was like, oh, I've never heard this before. What's Genshai? I went and researched it. There was really not a lot on there. One of our dear mutual friends, Kevin, had taught it to us. And I was up at his house for 2.5 hours. And he really taught me this word. And I was like, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was like he planted a seed in my heart. And I was like, I'm not going to treat myself small anymore. Here we go. And so I went back and, you know, there wasn't anything. So I was like, oh, Genshai.com, buy. You know, I went through it, just Genshai everything. I'm like,
yeah,
if this really helped me this way, how many people can I help with the gift that was just given to me? And I don't know if you know this, Brock, but G-E-N, you know, just the derivative of that word, the meaning of it, is G-E-N means the beginning or the birth of. Like Genesis or genetics, you know, it's the beginning or the birth. Shai, throughout ancient writ, scripture, whatever, Shai means the gift. So the beginning or the birth of the gift is the derivative of this word. How beautiful is that? And so the beginning of the gift, but what's the gift? This is what I've been like researching the last 8 years. You know what the gift is? It's you. You are the gift. So that's what Genshai means to me. If you're the gift, put yourself first. It's not including yourself. It's you first. It's not being selfish. It's you first on what you and your innate abilities are, what gifts that the Creator made for you. What can you do to honor those gifts? That's what I believe Genshai represents. So it changed my life. And as you know, I'm launching Genshai.com and all these amazing things around it so that I can give that gift back of what I felt. And how can we all play in the best way possible for ourselves, to show our kids, our just everybody that we love around us? How can we give that gift? And the beauty is, if I may, Brock, we want to do 1,000,000 stories of gratitude. That simple. 1,000,000 stories of gratitude. Gift Genshai, tell us your story. That's what we want. And that's what we're after. And when that resonated in me and I was inspired on top of the mountain, when that came to me, I'm like, how do I share Genshai the purest and simplest way? And the real gift's your story. Who mentored you? Who lifted you up? Who gave you that book that changed your life? You know, teach them Genshai. I don't know a greater gift of elevating somebody up and telling them to play big, to be a better you. Elevate yourself out of the shame and the guilt and the things that your past does not hopefully identify you for your future, right? So if we can just rid ourselves of that and start today and give us the gift of our story and our mentors and gift them that story. You know, I went back to Norm Bangeter, the one that sold me those apartments, Brock.
Yeah.
And I gifted him a Genshai coin. And I gave him this coin and I was in tears telling him the story of what he gifted me right before he passed. He passed about 2 years ago. And I don't think if I had Genshai and the gift of this coin to give him a Genshai coin, we wouldn't have had this most amazing time and experience on his couch in his house. And I told him how you believed in me again, how when I went to you and you honored me with these apartments. And I said, you lifted me up so that I knew I could do something. It says you believed in me. And we cried on the couch together. This is like a statuesque man that just demands. I mean, he wills things. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. But the first coin I gave was to my mom. The very first one was to my mom. She taught me charity and love. And the second one was to my dad. And the third one was to Norm. And so, I told him those stories. It's a touchstone. It's about giving the gift of your story.
So tell us more, and we'll link everything up, of course, to the website and stuff like this. But for everyone listening and hasn't seen these coins, they're these beautiful silver coins, beautifully inscripted, a lot of just intricate, beautiful detail on them. How does the coin campaign work? Because it's very, very cool.
You know, and thanks for that, Brock, because my heart and intent's in the right place on this, because I just made these for myself, as you know, and I gifted you. I think you have two of them now, don't you?
I do.
I gave you the original one and the new one that is going to go around the globe. So this beautiful coin I created because I wanted to gift. When I felt that with my mom and my dad and Norm, I produced a few more coins and I started gifting them to my business partners. I gifted coins to my daughters and told them why, how beautiful they were, how they inspired me, how they guided me. You know, I when I make decisions, I think of how does this show and reflect and emulate my three daughters. You know, when I make decisions, I think about them all the time. And I told them that when I gifted them a coin. When I gave you the coin, Brock, I was just like, man, thanks for being a Genshai brother. I love you. You're an amazing individual. You're an inspiration to so many. And I told you the story of why and what I truly thought about you. And now you have that touchstone that you will, when you see that coin or touch it or carry it with you, it reminds you not to treat yourself small, but the story and the gift that was given to you. And I've had a couple given back to me with the most beautiful messages and stories of how they've been inspired. And it's lifted them out of situations. You know, when I'm in my board meetings and things like that, of some of the investments I've made over the years, I'll put my coin out on my pad of paper or up on the desk. And just remember, everybody in that room is a gift. Everybody in that room is, I love them and I learn from them. And that's the, and I carry this thing with me all the time, this coin. It reminds me that. I reach in my pocket and I get a big smile on my face. And I just want people to share that gift, and it gives them permission. This is the key, Brock. It gives them permission to tell the story. Because a lot of times, you know, the handwritten note has gone by the wayside. Nobody writes anymore. How do we gift somebody what they've done for us? And I believe that is person to person, the story, and just heartfelt love. Pour your heart to them. Tell them why and what they did in your life. Gift them the coin.
I love about it, Lance, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but it really is so powerful. Like when you have it in your pocket, we all go through the day, oftentimes starting well in some cases, and then as the afternoon goes on, life gets thrown at us. You know, it's very easy to get discouraged or not be grateful or feel anger or all these different emotions. And what I've seen with me is when I have it in my pocket and you're having one of those moments and you just like touch it, it really does like bring you back. It reminds you, oh, I'm treating myself small right now. Correct course. And the ideology of having two coins, because they come in packs of two, right?
Yeah, you can get them individually. You can get two, because I believe the first coin you need to give to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, give you the first coin. If you're the gift, to give you a coin to hold, to have your touchstone on you at all times. That's what I believe, and that's what I do. And it's changed my course. So.
And then tell us about the significance of the second one.
So the second one would be, what is that one person that immediately comes to your mind that has helped you? Who's that teacher? Who's that mentor? Who's somebody in your life, whether it's a parent or a teacher or community leader or church leader or anybody that has just like propelled you into your greatness or even just helped you? A simple act during the day. Sometimes I give a coin away to somebody that just showed me love to somebody else or was gracious to me that made my day. And I'll put it in their hands and I'll grab it with both of my hands and I'll say, I want to gift you this because you did this. And I just witnessed that. And it was so beautiful. I hope you have the most beautiful day. And you should see the look on their face and the pouring of love back. Sometimes they'll be perplexed. They'll look at the coin, they'll read it, and they'll get the biggest glow and smile on their face. And there's not a greater gift we can give somebody than the gift of what they did and just immediate response of the love that they showed to somebody else or yourself. So that second coin is that one person. And then there's other coins that you can get. I always have a couple with me just because I just want to give that gift. And just what I found out, Brock, was even if it's for a few seconds, if somebody thinks different about themselves than somebody else, in a positive, loving way, you've changed your course permanently forever, even if it's for a couple of seconds.
I'm going to have you repeat that because that is so freaking powerful.
So this is why Genshai for me was so powerful. It made me think for just a few seconds of how I was treating myself small or how I needed to change my course. And if you do that with whatever practice it is, or somebody gifts you a coin or you gift that, the feeling that you have, it changes your course forever. It permanently changes it because for those few seconds, you were in a state of pure love. You were in a state of pure giving. And who knows where that will propel you, if I can get that word out. But, you know, it's unbelievable where it takes you. And I want to feel that every day. And I try to. And I it's not try. I actually do. You know, I do it. So it's just beautiful, Brock. And I'm what an amazing journey and path and awakening we're on together. And I just honor you, and it's so beautiful.
It really is, you guys. And I really, really would encourage everybody to, you know, look, if you don't get the coin, at least start, like, giving yourself the gift of you. But the coins are so cool because they're not only just unique. Like, when was the last time somebody gave you, like, a beautifully inscripted coin? Like, that just doesn't happen. It may be, like, a text message, like, hey, cool, I appreciate you. Which is, you know, that's fine. But like, if you really want to make an impact on somebody, like, get the coin, gift it. It's so true. And we are just so starved for compliments, for appreciation. It really is life changing. Like, this is so much bigger than I think we can even convey on this. Everybody just needs to experience this.
Yeah. And I do think there will be podcast two, Brock, because if we go really in depth over the last 8 years of what I've written and the books and, you know, the Genshai effect, they can get that for free on the website. That's a gift. You know, just go on the website, put your email in. It's a free gift from us at Genshai, myself, and it's called the Genshai effect. And what a beautiful, you know, that was, I was woken. Oh, for years, at 2 or 3 in the morning with inspiration, I would just write. And it's a compilation of that and just of direct connect and direct inspiration. So, But you're right, Brock. I mean, they don't have to get the coin. I'm not saying that to promote it or anything, but this is what it did for me. And that's why I started producing the coins, because it altered all my relationships. And I had those times when I told a business partner that I love them and I gave them a coin and they were like, dude, what's going on? This is kind of weird. And I'm like, but it did. But you know what, Brock? The key in life is we're only informers, not enforcers. So when we inform somebody something, it's not our responsibility how it's received. If we feel it, we need to give it. It's not a responsibility how it's received. And I heard that from an amazing mentor about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And that has resonated with me ever since. We are only informers. We only share. So that's our responsibility. So you need to give it when you have it. And that's what I know. So, you know, the gift of your story, whether it's a coin, whether it's just the story, whatever that is, and the gift of what you're giving people with this amazing podcast, priceless. It's priceless to me. It's priceless to be on this with you, Brock. And just the gift of your friendship is priceless to me. And what an amazing thing that we have right now is an opportunity to share all of this together.
Yeah, it truly is. And I couldn't be more grateful to have you on here. And we are absolutely going to do round two. You guys, just so everyone knows, like, we could do an hour on manifesting the reality that you want. We could do an hour on how Lance unplugs and, like, just gleans inspiration. Like, there's I literally call Lance every time my life starts down spiraling and I was like, help. and I think we all need, like, you know, at least one person in our lives like that, where just through the good and the bad, like, you really know a true friend if they're there through the good and the bad. Like, it's so evident. And so equally just humbled and grateful, my man. We'll have links to everything for Genshai, how to get in touch with you. What would be the best place you would prefer people to jump on the interwebs and say hello?
You know, they can reach me at Lance Schiffman on Facebook. They can reach me at, I'm going to change my Insta because right now it's Slim Shifty. That's just an old play on some other crazy stuff. You know, we like to have fun too, Brock.
it's like Slim Shifty, but Slim Shift.
Yeah, because it's a play on my last name, right? Schiffman, so S-C-H. But yeah, on Instagram, you can go to Living Genshai and reach out to me. Go to genshai.com and put in your email. I'm going to be reaching out to everybody individually. So yeah, any of those things, and you'll find me. You'll find me on Facebook. I'm not a huge Facebook guy or Instagram, but I'm getting there. I'm getting educated on it. My three daughters are helping me tremendously soon, you know, with everything that's happening.
Yeah.
So it's quite an education on that side. And even when you have a little bit of resistance, it is forced upon you in a beautiful way when you're getting out there. So, just reach out, you know, Lance Schiffman, S-C-H-I-F-F-M-A-N. And I would be honored to hear from anybody on this podcast, refer to Brock and what an honor to.
Well, let's get up to those 1 million stories of gratitude. Let's all do it together. Sounds incredible.
It's awesome. It's inspired, and I'm just grateful to share. Thanks, my Genshai brother.
Thanks for being on, my friend. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Peace.
Peace.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed having that conversation. I think we will have Lance back for round two, because we literally could have talked for probably 2 more hours just on different subjects that we touched on only lightly in this episode. Make sure you guys go and find Lance, say hi to him on Instagram. We've got all the links in the show notes here. And make sure you pick up a couple of the Genshai coins. I gotta tell you guys, it's really one of the coolest things that you'll ever do. And it's such a unique way to really honor somebody. So they're not like super expensive, but go on the site, genshai.com, check it out. get yourself a coin, honor yourself, and then give a coin to the person who has really meant the most to you. And just wait and watch what happens, you guys. It's super, super cool. You're going to see a lot of amazing stuff over the coming months with Genshai, and I hope you guys tune in. It's really been something that has anchored me greatly within my own spirituality. So thanks for listening, you guys. Have an amazing day. We'll see you on the next podcast. Peace.